At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. Welcome back. A few minutes after 7 here on your Wednesday morning. The week's just moving right along. It always helps when you have Monday off. I think that's a bright spot.
Shortens the week for sure. We're already to over the hump day, man. It's great.
Dan's still adjusting to this new schedule and, you know, playing those late night baseball games and struggling on the struggle bus here this morning.
It is impacting my social life for
I'm
sure.
I'm telling you.
It's like 3:30 comes around way too early.
Man alive.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. That is absolutely for sure.
That's your life. I only do this like temporary, short term, 12 weeks. Kim will be back, and I'll get my sleep again.
There you go. You have a goal to look forward to.
That's right.
We appreciate you being here, my friend. We certainly do. Today, we're going to be feeding our first responders, and we'll have an announcement on that a little later. But if you want to nominate your favorite first responder, just go to 971talk.com/contests, and we try to make it as easy as possible for you there. You pick a firefighter, EMS worker, police officer who you know does that good work all the time for the community. Nominate them, and we will pick a winner. We pick a winner once a month, and then my great friend Tony Stone, who's probably already at his shop cooking this morning, cooks food, a big box of food with pulled pork or pulled chicken and all the sides and the fresh bread from the hill and all that good stuff, and then we deliver it. Today I'll be taking some food out, and we'll talk about that coming up a little
later.
That's
cool.
We need more nominations. We do it once every month.
So anybody who has qualified as a first responder can be nominated and win this great basket of food.
And then we feed their shift that day when we show
up. They're a firefighter, you'll feed the whole house?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
That's what we do.
That's great.
Tony won't take any money for the food. He donates a box of food every month for our first responders.
That's wonderful.
Just a great human being. Grillmastertony.com in case you have any catering needs. Let's throw that out there while we're talking about it. So check that out. By the way, just a quick reminder, we will be live in the beautiful city of Eureka coming up on 9/11. Not only remembering the victims of 9/11, of course, that day we're going to be honoring our veterans who return from different wars, and they are serviced by an organization called the Focus Marine Foundation. They do great work. We're going to be helping raise some money and awareness for what they do while we're down there. We'd love to see you. Swing by Chicken Ellie's there in downtown Eureka. We're there live from 5 to 9 next Thursday. A week from tomorrow, we'll be live down there. Dan will be there. Ethan will be there. I'm sure we'll get all the local elected officials. And maybe, I don't know if Trisha is going to make an appearance down there or not. We'll have to see if we can get her to bring the baby down there.
I'm going to have to wake up like at 3 that day. I'm just doing the math in my head because I'm like, I'm about 50 minutes from Eureka probably.
Can we ride together if you want?
Oh,
see,
okay.
We worked that out.
Yeah, but see, last night it burned me.
That's true.
You know, I rode with a friend of the game. I was done at 9:15. His game was in a diamond behind us. Of course, it goes till like 11.
11.
I'm like, are you kidding me? So,
last time you'll be doing that.
Exactly.
Coming up, we'll talk to our friend Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation and Jimmy Failla, host of course, Fox Across America. And, of course, you hear him right here on the radio on 97.1 as well. He's a fantastic guy. Funny guy.
Oh, so
funny. He's a stand-up comedian. He started out, really, he still does it a lot. He's coming to St. Louis later this year. Well, actually, I should say early next year, January, I believe. And we're going to have an event with Jimmy. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning, but mainly just anxious to get him on here and find out what he's got to say.
Have
about
tickets
some of the
going on sale
on.
For the
I think maybe
event?
They have, but we're doing an event with him while he's here. So
okay.
I don't have all the details on that yet to announce, but I do know he's going to be coming to town in January.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. Next hour, we'll talk to Senator Adam Schnelting about the special session as well. So still a lot to go in the next 2 hours. Hope you can stay with us right now. Let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
And so I'm not in denial of whether or not we have a crime problem. We do. But we, through collaboration and through great law enforcement leadership, have been chipping away at that problem.
How about that? Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul wants you to know that even though 600 humans were unalived in Chicago last year, they feel like they've got the situation under control.
Unbelievable.
And you've got these Democrats running around and saying, well, you know, crime is down. We don't have to worry about it. That's absurd. And these people are not doing their job. Their job is to protect the law-abiding citizens in this country.
Yeah, thank you, Judge Jeanine. Go pointing get that out. Right.
Get them, Judge.
Don't you argue for a minute that the National Guard costs too much when you could save lives doing it.
Well, we're going in. I didn't say when. We're going in. When you lose, look, I have an obligation. This isn't a political thing. I have an obligation.
I think he honestly believes that.
Yeah.
He fixes a problem in D.C. Now the mayor there is cooperating so that when the 30 days expires, they can continue their working relationship with the federal government because this benefits her, too.
Yeah, he's got the 30-day authorization for an emergency act, and here she's saying, hey, let's keep this thing going.
Yeah.
City looks great. Crime is down. We're loving it here in D.C.
That's right. Hey, by the way, just out of interest, listen to this.
It's good to see you in the new year. You know, no one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now it looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress.
How about that? Did you recognize that voice, Dan?
No. I was trying to pick it up. I'm like, who is that?
That is Jasmine Crockett.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Running, she's going to run for Senate?
She's already in Congress.
No, I know. She's a congresswoman.
Well, this was recorded back when she was still a trial attorney.
Oh,
when she just ran for Congress, they went out and they interviewed her. Back when she used to...
Where's the slang at?
Back when she used to sound like a highly educated corporate attorney. Just listen to this again.
It's good to see you in the new year. You know, no one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now it looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress.
Even the proper use of the Queen's English there, she seems to have mastered that during her time at MICDS and then her $65,000 a year bachelor's degree and then her law school.
Now, do you have a sample of today's Jasmine?
Well, I have a sample of yesterday's Jasmine.
Okay, yeah, let's hear this.
And it is really quite interesting because she was laying it on thick at this event where she was talking about white Christians. So if you're ready for it, steal your ears and listen to Jasmine Crockett today. Well, from actually yesterday.
Okay.
Baby, because these people, they are crazy because they always talk about how Christian they is.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know how many of them on that side are getting divorced because they getting caught up sleeping with their co-workers, staffers, interns, all the things. Yeah, you ain't got to believe me. Just go Google. You'll find some of it. I'm telling you, and the wives is being messy and petty. They putting it in the divorce. I'm like, ooh, that's got to be true because your lawyer would know that they going to lose it if they...
What?
It's
what?
Like, she's an actress. I'm telling you, she is an actress.
And you people are buying it. There's people buying that garbage.
She wasn't raised that way. But flips a switch and goes hood.
Try to make that happen. Just as you're giving yourself a English lesson, say try to end a sentence with is.
Oh my gosh.
Because that's what they is.
Well, I just don't know why people who are her constituents continue to fall for it. That's the thing that is amazing to me. So,
well, she acts like she's from those ghetto neighborhoods, and right. Clearly we all know
she's
better.
She's from Ladue. Lived in Ladue when she lived here. She went to school in Ladue.
Yeah, MICDS, the most expensive school in St. Louis, right.
Coming up, we'll check in with Genevieve Wood a little later. Jimmy Failla will join us from Fox.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
News. Stay tuned. Great to have Genevieve Wood back with us from the Heritage Foundation, senior advisor there. And Genevieve, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Glad you're still safe and sound there in Washington, D.C.
Safer by the moment.
Safer all the time. I love that. I love that. You know, I was looking at the Daily Signal yesterday, and I come across this story that with this title, and it caught my eye. Teaching is sacred, not transactional. We need to restore student-first status in America's schools. That seems like such an obvious statement, but what the author here, Stephen Cutchins, has pointed out, who is a teacher, by the way, is that we have drifted so far from that model in America, you almost don't recognize it anymore.
Yeah, he talks about the fact that, you know, schools shouldn't be like Walmarts where you just come in and you pick out what you want, and then it's all just very transactional. But the question we should always be asking is what he points out in the article is, what is best for the students? And that's what every teacher should be asking, what every principal should be asking, what every school system should be asking. But unfortunately, that's rarely, they say that oftentimes, but when it comes down to it, it's rarely about the students. It's what the school system wants. It's what the bureaucracy wants, much more than it is the actual individual students.
Yeah. Here's one of the things he points out. In higher education, I often hear leaders admit that their institutions sometimes drift into a professor-first mindset. Faculty prestige or institutional reputation overshadows the mission. And I think that's true. Well, although it's referring to professors, I think that's true whether it's secondary education or college, right?
No, absolutely right. And it's why things like, you know, giving parents and students the options to choose the kind of schools and education that are best for them is what's best for students. And that doesn't mean that every school choice program is the best option for students. That's why you can't have a top-down, as President Trump has talked about, having a Department of Education in Washington tell all 50 states and communities around the country how to run their schools. There's been way, way too much of that, as opposed to asking, what do individual students in my community need? What's going to be best for them? That's the question we should be, that's the approach we should be taking when we're setting education policy, which should be happening at the local level.
Yeah, very true. I've got an article here that I haven't gotten to yet this morning, but it talks about the fact that the Senate may be planning to do an end run on some of Trump's nominees that he can't get through. He's got a lot of people for lower level positions that he can't get through the Senate right now. Judicial nominees, though, are another issue. He's been able to get a number of those through. Is there a ranking? Have you guys been taking a look at this at Daily Signal?
Yeah, we do. We have a judicial tracker where we track the nominees that have been made, and we track, you know, which ones have now been confirmed. And the reality is that when you look at it right now, when President Trump came in this year, there were just fewer open slots for judges than when he came in the first time around. One reason, not only did he have three Supreme Court justices he got to nominate last time, but he nominated over almost 250 judges at the federal bench levels as well, the appellate levels. But when he came in this time, there were fewer judges. Now that could certainly change over the next 2 to 3 years. You could have retirees and the like. But even then, you know, in states where you've got a Democratic senator, so if you don't have two Republicans, you've got, say, one Republican, one Democrat. If the president nominates an appellate court judge in that state, a Democrat can do what they call a blue slip, raise a blue slip and say, I don't want to have a hearing on that. Now, it works both ways. Republicans have done that to, you know, in the state of North Carolina, for instance, there are four judicial judgeships open that both Tom Tillis and Ted Budd, the two Republican senators from North Carolina, said, we're not going to allow Biden to fill these seats. So now there's four judgeships in North Carolina that President Trump will get to fill. So it does work both ways, but you have to keep your eye on it.
You do, and I know that the president had been pretty critical of Chuck Grassley for continuing that tradition.
Yes.
Because it's blocked him from putting Alina Haba in office, apparently, because the two Democrats in that state tried to block her there. So I don't know. It's got its pros and cons.
But it's helped you in, like, Missouri, though, because you have senators who help appoint the judges.
Sure.
So it depends. It's very difficult to say, and I understand why the president's frustrated about it, but, you know, heaven forbid, the next time around there's a liberal in office, you would want conservatives in the Senate to be able to have that kind of power.
Yeah. Hey, recently, Jerry Nadler announcing his retirement. He probably saw the handwriting on the wall. And the question, I think, becomes, are we going to see this trend before the 26th election? I mean, there's a lot of old Democrats in that House and Senate. You got Pelosi and Claiborne and Hoyer and Waters and Pascrell and Napolitano. I mean, there's so many old 85-plus congressmen. Are they all going to kind of maybe look to step aside and let youth come in and give them a better chance?
It's funny, as you were saying some of those names, I'm like, are they still in?
Yeah.
it's like you can't get over. Oh, well, Jerry Nadler's been in for 30 years. I mean, sometimes I can't believe how long it's been. This is one of the few times I agree with him about something, which is, you know, he said, I took a look at what, you know, happened with President Biden and thought, you know, maybe somebody younger can do a better job, maybe have more energy and get more done. I think it's good that he's doing that. And, of course, whoever replaces him probably is not going to be much more helpful.
Based on the
district. But, no, I think you likely are going to see this. I mean, Dick Durbin, the senator in Illinois, he's already announced he's not going to retire. You've had some folks, I think, in Texas like Lloyd Doggett making similar announcements. But, yeah, I think between now and probably the end of this year, you're going to have a number of folks stepping down. And look, I don't want to get caught up in ageism, but you have both sides of the aisle. You have people, it's not just that they're now 80 years old. You know, I know a lot of people that are 80 that are super sharp, but it's more of the fact that you've been there for 30 years.
Yeah, Grassley,
you know,
Rogers.
That's really, honestly,
yeah,
the bigger problem.
Yeah. He's 80. I didn't realize Dick Durbin's 80 years old. Wow.
And Republicans, yeah, you got Grassley, you got Rogers. I mean, a lot of old guys.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And especially when it's like you're in a state, you're in a seat where you know you're going to have a good replacement. I mean, Nadler here is not worried about the fact that some our conservative Republicans going to replace him.
Nope.
So it's not. And there's a lot of Republicans you could say the same. So you'd be doing your party probably some help if you took a look at, you know, the fact that maybe, hey, it's time for me to let some new blood come in here.
Genevieve, always great having you on. Have a great week.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You bet. Awesome. Heritage.org, DailySignal.com. Go check them out. We're going to switch things up and get back to Dan's segment right after this.
But don't give a f-.
It's the segment where we give voices on social media, strong conservative voices, a platform on mainstream media here on the radio, because most mainstream platforms want these people to just go away. They do not want to have their voices heard. So every day during the show, we're doing these little segments, and I've broken it up into like five themes. We'll have Thankful Thursdays, Freedom Fighter Fridays, Minority Mondays, Truth Bomb Tuesdays.
Yeah, love it.
And today we are doing Warrior Women Wednesday. And now you probably know this social media conservative voice. She has been on Newsmax. She has a new daily podcast that I've been tuning into. She's great. Growing in popularity on Instagram, has about 70,000 followers already, and she's only been up for a couple months. She is also a former colleague of mine from Show Me St. Louis. We were part of the team that launched that show in 1995, 30 years ago. That's crazy. That's been 30 years. But she was a funny, lighthearted reporter back then. But today, Wendy Bell is a warrior for conservative values. She's been going boldly recently at Big Pharma. And she shares her personal stories as it relates to her own children, including her set of twin boys. She's passionate. She gets fired up on every topic she talks about. And recently she was talking about forced vaccinations in order to go to school and kind of the implications as a mom. Here's Wendy Bell, a strong conservative voice in this week's Warrior Woman. Hit it, Ethan.
You can't go anywhere in college, ladies and gentlemen. You can't go beyond an education if you haven't proven that you are vaccinated against meningitis. She hands me, the nurse does, hands me a rundown of each of the boys' vaccinations so far. And I looked on the page, and in 2012, no, when they were 12, I should say, both of my boys got the Gardasil HPV shot. They got two of them. And I looked down at the sheet. It was 2020. I looked down at the sheet and I got to be honest with you, I didn't hear anything else in the room. We just played a week ago. We played RFK Jr., Health and Human Services Secretary, talking about what he says is known, that he knew in the trial data that children are 37 times more likely to die from Gardasil than they are to die from cervical cancer, which was the whole gist of this Merck vaccine that rolled out in the early 2000s. And I looked at the nurse, and she looked back at me, and I whispered, Gardasil. And she said, yes, I know. And I said, I didn't. And she said, I didn't either. I did it too. And in that moment,
wow,
my twin sons have no idea what's going on, as I'm realizing that 5 years ago, they both got a two-shot series of a vaccine that now I'm very concerned about. And the whole rest of the day was a total wash. And I said to the nurse privately afterwards, I said, but the Secretary of Health and Human Services is, because she said, I know. And I said, and you're still using it? And she said, we are. Look, I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm not anti-medicine. I'm not anti-science. I'm just so angry that I don't trust anyone anymore. I'm so angry that I don't believe anyone anymore. I'm so disappointed that corporate medicine has gobbled up every physician there is. And they're all under this big umbrella of corporate garbage that compensates them for pushing things on us.
Wow. She gets passionate. If you like somebody who takes a stand, you'll love the Wendy Bell Show. Again, it's out there on Instagram, and she is she's a voice in the wilderness. A lot of people are, you know, afraid to talk about this because they've got big advertisers who make all those vaccines, and they don't want to, you know, get them angry. Well, she doesn't have any advertisers on her show. She doesn't really care what Big Pharma thinks. She is just presenting facts and a lot of data. She's and a lot of things.
Apparently doing some stuff on Newsmax these days,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she's been on Newsmax, tell. Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's kind of her gig, and then she does this on the side, the Wendy Bell Show. Yep.
Wow.
So we'll try to get her on. I think we can get her on Friday, maybe.
We need
maybe.
To get her on and talk about this, because there are bound to be a lot of parents out there that identify 100% with what you just said.
Yep.
Because if it wasn't for RFK Jr. working hard to uncover some of this, would you ever know? Would you ever know the lack of real, viable, long-term testing that is done on these vaccines? They basically have been given permission, the pharmaceutical companies, to skip that step, that they would subject normal drugs would go through a much longer approval process. But for some reason, vaccines have been given a pass, and many of them go to market before there are ever long-term studies on the effects.
Yeah. And, you know, there are obviously side effects, but there's also the positive sides of some of these things.
Sure.
They do prevent what could be some horrible things to occur to people. So it's a balance, though, of risk versus reward. And I don't think we are clearly told the risk factors that is, you know, that are being truly documented, and we're not getting that documentation. We're not being told that those bad things are happening.
And people need to be given a choice here. Yeah. Inform them, this is what it does, this is what it protects you from. If you choose to give this to your children, this is it. Well, my gosh, what would happen if we had unvaccinated children in our children's school? Well, if your child's vaccinated and you believe in the efficacy of that vaccine, you have nothing to worry about.
That's right. Yeah. And also, if you don't get sexually promiscuous, many of these things that are sexually transmitted diseases don't happen as well. The easiest way to prevent it is not to have premarital sex and things like that.
Well, you talking about the Gardasil thing?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's supposedly designed to keep people from getting oral cancer, supposedly, down the road somewhere. But I would assume in adulthood, it can protect you through adulthood. I don't know.
But it's promoted as a sexually...
It is promoted, yes.
Yeah, transmitted disease vaccine. So,
right.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of arguments both ways because the side effects are real and we're not being told those. And there's also ingredients in those vaccines that you don't know. Until you read all of the ingredients of some of these vaccines, there's more than just, you know, the actual vaccine. There are other metals and things like that that people aren't aware that they're injecting in their bodies. It's a debate. And if you want to hear one side of it from a mother of five who's very passionate about it,
yeah,
Wendy Bell will give you a lot of facts.
Well, we'll try to get her on the show because I think that's definitely a conversation worth having. But it might be worth having Dr. Stephen Crawford on again. I need to reach out to him. Because it's probably been a year and a half or 2 years since I've had him on, but just to get his reaction to RFK Jr. And, you know, he was the voice of reason in this firestorm of corporate physicians who followed the company line and refused to let people have access to ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine when it could have saved untold thousands of lives, maybe untold hundreds of thousands of lives in this country, and you were told instead that it was a horse dewormer and you should stay away from it.
Yeah.
And they knew better. They knew better, but the pharmaceutical companies didn't make any money off something that's
generic,
given out all over, yeah, Africa at 20 cents a tablet. They weren't making any money off of it.
No, absolutely
not. But they made a lot of money off the vaccines. Guaranteed billions off the vaccines. So I'm just saying, they're a lot of things that have been covered up and a lot of answers that need to be told. So we'll spend some time concentrating on that, I promise you. All right, good segment, Dan. Thank you for that.
Our Wednesday Woman Warrior.
I love it. I love it. We'll get Wendy on here to talk about that a little bit. Now, next, I know you know this guy. He's on the radio here all the time. One of the funniest guys on TV, in my opinion, in radio. That's Jimmy Failla. You listen to his radio show here, portions of it, and you probably watch him on Fox all the time because he's on there constantly. We're going to get him on the phone when we come.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
I'm back.
Queen Nancy's on the brink of getting her crown stolen. Get this. Squad member Ilhan Omar's net worth skyrocketed up to $30 million last year. That is an increase, see, my calculations, 3,500% in a year. So where's the gold coming from? Her husband, not her brother, her husband, who owns a winery and a venture capital firm. Omar's not happy the news is out. She's calling these claims ridiculous and categorically false. I guess being a millionaire isn't a great look for a communist.
Jesse Waters filleting Ilhan Omar there a little bit yesterday when the report came out of her net worth. She reported a negative net worth when she ran for Congress the first time of like negative $45,000.
Yeah.
And she's been in Congress for 6 years now, I think. She's been reelected twice.
What's that number up to now?
30 million.
Unbelievable.
Now,
just but didn't like, that grow like 6 million in 1 year, too?
Oh, yeah.
It was like 24
years. Just like
ago.
Pelosi. How does that happen? Now, I understand her husband's not in Congress. He is a businessman, but he only started his business like a year or two ago. How did he gain $30 million? He ought to put that in a book and sell it if you can figure out how to do that in a year.
I think they ought to just give stock tips. Like have a place we all can go to see their trades because I'm following their trades because they say they made all that money by just working the stock market, and I'm like, yeah, because you have all that insider information and you know when sanctions are coming down or you know when to bail or buy, and it's corruption at its finest, but there's no laws to prevent it.
Yeah,
I mean, and two, what's going on under the table from various companies and lobby groups, you have zero idea, or in the case of the Biden family, from foreign governments.
Mm-hmm.
And
so 40 different LLCs,
right,
spread about. You never know.
And the NGOs, of course, they're getting their knees cut out from under them But you know those NGOs were funneling money back to these politicians.
Of course they were. Of course they were. The money was just coming right back to them. There's no other reason to give all that away. We have been trying to get a hold of Jimmy Failla, and probably if we had him on the phone right now, nobody would get a bigger kick out of the fact that we can't reach Jimmy Failla because the email they sent us yesterday with his phone number apparently has the wrong phone number on it. So we've been trying to call Jimmy, but Jimmy is not answering the phone. And if we get him on before the top of the hour, we will attempt to make that happen.
He is such a funny guy.
He is coming out to the factory on January 24th. And as my friend Rich messaged me earlier, said they've already bought tickets for it. The tickets are selling. Here's what I want you to do. If you Google this, don't pick the first option. There are a bunch of copycat ticket venues that try to, if you just Google Jimmy Failla and the factory, the first one that pops up is not the link to the factory. It's to some other ticket site where they had tickets on there for $130, $140. If you go to the factory and you click on buy tickets, it takes you to actually to Ticketmaster where there are tickets for $38. So don't be fooled by that. We are going to be doing an event with Jimmy in connection with his appearance here January 24th out at the factory. So if you go ahead and get your tickets now, you'll be ahead of the game on that. Because I don't know if it's going to sell out or not. Kilmeade sold out there, Dan, when we had him out there. It was fantastic.
I am almost sure. He's been getting sellouts everywhere he has gone. Just had one in Florida they said was sold out weeks ahead of time. So I am sure by the time that event gets here, as popular as he is in the show.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Do we have Jimmy Failla in real life on the phone? What's going on, buddy? How are you?
First of all, I'm here on bended knee. Sweet, marvelous Tricia was actually calling the wrong. I gave her the wrong number by one digit.
By one digit.
Like,
well, it's awesome getting you.
You deserve better. Like, this is a move I make in bars where people like after my TV show. They're like, I got an idea. You got to get to Trump. How can I get in touch? Oh, and I always give him the wrong number by one digit. Some guy is going to shoot me someday who's got like 100 messages people with political ideas. Patricia deserved better.
That's awesome.
I was just looking at the email thread. I'm the worst.
Oh, that's
all right,
funny.
Jimmy. Hey, we're looking forward to you coming to town, buddy. January 24th, huh?
Yeah, for sure. But go to the website to get tickets. Don't use the phone number. That's my advice.
I just told people to be sure they Google Jimmy Failla at the factory, because when I did that, the first couple sites that pop up are these no-name ticket sites where they're trying to charge like triple for the tickets. But if you go to Ticketmaster, you can still get them at face value. I don't know if you're making any money off that or not.
No, it's such a scam. I want to contact them and be like, are you getting this kind of money? Like, cut me in.
Yeah.
What are you doing? This is crazy. I'm getting paid in mozzarella sticks. This guy's selling parking to the show. It's crazy.
Well, I know, living up on the East Coast, you're used to winter weather, but you might have picked a better month in the middle of January to come to St. Louis.
You know what? I have a nostalgia for the winter, though. Because when you're in New York City in the winter, it's cold and you can't smell anything.
Yeah.
So we're the only place in America where tourism goes up when it gets cold out.
Yeah.
Think about that.
And we only got about a minute. Give me a feel for the show. I mean, is it all political or do you kind of, is it open season?
No, you're kind of seeing me in my natural habitat. You know, my background, obviously, is doing stand-up and driving a taxi. And, you know, I'm kind of like a feral cat. Fox domesticated me and taught me how to live inside without peeing on the furniture. But, like, stand-up is like you get out of the house and get to kill a few birds. So the show goes everywhere. And there's a Q&A at the end and a meet and greet. And if you're going to grope me, it has to be the right cheek because my left is paralyzed after this weekend show. A lot of handsy chubby chasers backstage in Pottstown, and now I have half a butt cheek, so it's not good.
That's good. We're looking forward to it, Jimmy, and I know the station's going to have something arranged with you that night as well, so we'll talk again between now and then. Thank you.
All right, rock and roll. You're the best.
Awesome, brother. Thanks.
We'll see you later. Jimmy Failla there. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.